This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. Hey, it's Bobby Bones. Hey, I just want to say thanks to everybody who has stepped up for the St. Jude kids. St. Jude's doing incredible work fighting childhood cancer. And because of donations like the ones that you give, families never receive a bill ever from St. Jude for treatment, travel, housing, food, none of that. Help St. Jude stop childhood cancer. Become a partner in hope. Get this awesome new This Shirt Saves Lives shirt. It's going to look great on you. So join all the doctors, researchers, and me in this fight. All right, text the word Bobby. It's only 6 numbers to 785-833. Again, text the word Bobby to just these 6 numbers, 785-833. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. You know, before they were legends of outlaw country, they were lost souls looking for their sound. Don't miss Mandy Moore and the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the rise of outlaw country music and its biggest stars. Hear how one woman's vision in her tiny living room, far from Nashville's Music Row, became the epicenter of a musical movement. Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in The Boar's Nest. Listen now at audible.com/The Boar's Nest.
Probably the second rock bottom that I've gone through, and I get a phone call from Morgan's manager. Would you like to photograph arguably one of the biggest albums covers of in country music? I was like, yes.
Welcome to episode 433 with Spidey Smith, who is a director and photographer. He's a podcast host of In the Trenches with Spidey. Now, basically, he's a celebrity photographer. He's a celebrity music video director. He lives in Nashville. I worked with them a bit at Jake Owens' charity event when I went down and did stand up, and he was down there for the whole weekend. But I was talking with him as like on a Saturday or something, and he had mentioned Eminem, and I was like, "Oh, you know Eminem?" He goes, "Well, I did a music video for him." I was like, "Really?" I started like trying to pump him for information because I was just interested, and it was like Bone Thugs and Good Charlotte and Three Door. And I said, "I don't want to know any more. You just have to come over to the house and talk to me about this." Because I don't think we've had not many celebrity photographers.
We haven't, no.
So that's what we did here. We talked with him, and you know, he has a podcast where he gets into the trenches, actually, which is the name of the podcast. But we talked about a lot of this, where his dad he talks about special forces, which is crazy. Can you imagine the discipline you grew up with? If your dad is special forces,
that must have been tough.
That must have been tough. But he's also shot, you know, and I have a client list of like the massive brands, but I thought this would be cool for you guys to hear. It's a little different angle. You know, we're always trying to focus and feature creatives. You can go to his site, spideysmith.com. Here he is, celebrity photographer and director living in Nashville, Spidey Smith. When we were together, some people were calling you Ryan, some people were calling you Spidey.
Yeah.
What do your friends call you? What do your closest friends call you?
it's morphed into Spidey now.
Why is that? What's up with Spidey? Where'd that come from? Yeah.
It came from Jason Aldean and Brian O'Connell, who was high up in the
promoter
of Live Nation.
Yeah.
I did a tour. Well, I got back into photo when directing kind of was in a shift, and I had hollered at Jason. I was like, "Yo, I want to come out on tour and just get my photo chops back up." And this is before Instagram. So anywho, long and the short, I would build tunnels underneath the stage.
So you can get around?
I can get around. So he would see me here, and he would give it to me there, but you know, whatever. And then he would just go over here and like see me there within too fast. So he was always like, "Are you webbing your way around?" You know, but no, I secretly had tunnels that I would make under. I was like a little...
I would have called you Cartel instead of Spidey.
I was going to say, I had a little cartel.
Yeah.
But I would actually stash lenses in these areas. And many times, even on Jake Owen, when I did it, I think at Long Beach, we were already well into the on the bus, packed up, ready to go. And I freaked out that I left a pretty sizable lens underneath
the stage. One of the many that you leave under the stage, you thought maybe you left one of them there.
Yeah, I did.
You did? Oh, you did.
I jumped off the bus before it was going to the airport and ran, and I think the stagehands got it for me.
I saw one of my friends post a picture of you, and I didn't know that. I don't know who knows anybody, but maybe it was your podcast. His name's Zach Massey, is my friend.
Yeah.
Do you know Zach?
I don't.
Okay, he's a great digital guy.
I was just mentioning it to my producer, Troy, on the way here
about
Zach Massey. I was like, man, he was really supporting the podcast. And then hearing about his story from my friend Chase, I wanted to get him on the podcast.
So I saw you on his, and I thought, are Zach and Spidey cool? But I didn't know you guys didn't know each other, but Zach's really good, right, as well, I'm sure.
Yes,
I don't know enough about it. It's like people that act, and they're like, this person's a bad actor. I can't.
Sure.
I can tell if somebody sucks.
Yeah.
And I can tell if something like is really great and moves me, but I don't know, like I wouldn't know a lens or a difference in a lens or like, how do you get an interest in taking pictures and at what age, and when do you realize you could actually turn that into something where you can make money? Because again, it's art, and art, it's hard to make money in art because everybody wants to do it.
Yeah. I started very young taking pictures. I was a little surfer kid, and a lot of my friends were in bands, you know, just picking up a mic and singing. And I wasn't into that. I kind of was into the visual side of what they look like and their busted up jeans and stuff like that. So I started shooting pictures early.
With like what, one of those cameras?
Film. It was early film. It was my father's from Vietnam, his camera. But somewhere in there, I decided I wanted to move into directing, and then got back into pictures when directing got a little too big.
So your podcast that we just mentioned, In the Trenches with Spidey, what's the premise? What are you guys doing there?
Sure. I have a guest each week, whether it be an artist that I've worked with or just an artist.
Sure.
DPs, directors, to managers, painters. Just, it's really celebrating the art form and how it relates to entertainment. It came up because I was on I've been thinking about how can I connect with people again. I feel since COVID, you know, I just do my job. And even when I do my job, it's less team these days. And I came from an era where it was a lot of team, a lot of that stuff. So
it was a way to make friends. That's why I do this.
No, it was. Yeah. It was a way to.
I can't get anybody to come to my house unless I'm like, come
to
the podcast.
I've even said that.
Yeah.
I need you guys.
Spidey would never come over unless I was like, we're not even recording this. This is all just a way for me to make friends. Whenever, because I met you through Jake, we were all in Florida at Jake's charity event.
Yeah.
And the way that he introduced you to me was not actually us face to face, like, hey, this is Ryan or Spidey, Bobby. Yeah. He said, hey, you see him? I was like, yeah. He goes, yeah, he worked with Bone Thugs and Eminem and Duran Duran.
Yeah.
And I was like, doing what? He said, he's just done visuals for all of them.
Directed videos at a very young age.
So all those were videos?
All official videos at 19, 20, 21, very young.
How do you get in those specific circles to be able to direct or do anything artistic for them? Let's just do one specifically. Let's do Duran Duran.
Sure.
How did you end up on a Duran Duran shoot being the director of their video?
I'll tell you a great story about Duran Duran. I was driving with my then girlfriend to San Francisco. We had already written one treatment for Duran Duran. The commissioner, the record label, said, we love your work. Can you rewrite the treatment to a new idea? I called my agent and I said, hey, remember that Mars Volta treatment? Just recycle that. Bye.
So from the other band.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, cool, bye. Got to San Francisco. In that time, they wanted to meet with me. Fly back to LA. That time, I don't know if things have changed, but Simon and Nick did not get along. So I had to go meet Simon at the Four Seasons and Nick at the Chateau. All on the same day. I was already driving to San Francisco. Now I'm here. And I don't even know the treatment, the Mars Volta treatment that was recycled for them. So I sit down with Simon, but as I get to the pool, he's having lunch or drinks with Kiefer Sutherland. And this is back during the 24 show. And they're sitting there talking about my honey bits in my hair. I was, you know, my
boy band.
Like Frosty?
Yeah,
Little Frosty. Frosty. Yeah.
They go, hey, Ryan, how about some honey bits? How can I, you know? And then I went to the chateau to meet with Nick about the idea. And then shot the video.
What was the video?
The video was for a song called What Happens Tomorrow.
And what were they doing? And did you have to keep them apart from each other?
Yeah.
And is that why you met with both, to tell them kind of?
Yep. They had to, I had to convince them of the creative so they would sign off on it, but it had to be to two different locations. And then even when we shot the video, you'll look at how there's a stage and black. I could put two band members there. They can leave, put the other two band members, and then I can cut because I have black to do it. And then the whole narrative was really the expense.
And the band members hating each other, not unheard of. It happens all the time.
All the time.
They were smart enough to stay together, even though they hated each other.
Yes. I think they had a little sabbatical, and they came back. And that was the first video on their way back. So it was a lot of attention to it. And I can, one of the funniest things about that video, when you turn into that was like a $550,000 video.
Golly, it's just so different now.
It might have been $600,000.
Yeah.
I don't know. But when you turn in the rough cut, it's not colored, it's not tightened, it's just, here are the edits. Do you like it? Do you like the visuals? Blah. And not Simon, Nick, he got on the phone. He rattled off probably 40 different exotic cheeses of what the rough cut felt to him. He described everything in a cheese, which I could only think was he hated it. He felt everything was cheesy.
Cheesy, sure.
Anyway.
Big cheese connoisseur?
He must be.
Yeah.
I didn't know the cheeses he was mentioning. I was like, is that good or is that bad?
But was it good or
bad? That's expensive cheese.
Did it end up being good or bad?
It ended up being well loved, and he ended up calling. When it was all done, he loved it and all that. But it's an interesting story.
So let's go to Eminem then. How totally different. Everything different.
Everything different with Eminem. Eminem came by me being friends with Paul Rosenberg. Paul Rosenberg is synonymous to Marshall. He's partner of Shady. Now I think he's president of Def Jam.
He's also on some of his records too, like doing Paul Smells.
Hey,
like,
it's Paul.
Yeah,
you know, I hear you're shooting the gun out back. Anyway, he's an amazing supporter of mine. And golly, man, I was young, so my days and stuff could be a little off years. But we started on like Exhibit for Get Your Walk On. Get Your Walk On, back that ass up, you know that video. And then Cypress Hill. So you earn your trust to get to the top.
Was all of that just you were doing these hip hop videos and they were great and people liked them, or were they all connected by a certain couple of people? Like from Cypress Hill to Exhibit to Eminem, like was there like one string, or did just word get out like, this guy Ryan, this guy Spidey, I guess you've been Ryan to them. Like this guy Ryan's like legit, he's young, he's fresh. Or was it like the same agent booking you for all three?
Interesting. Great question. A combination of a couple things. My career has been a bit of a storybook because I have always taken the allegiance to the artist. I'm with them in their lows, and by proxy, I'm with them in their highs. So that my avenue has always been through artist management, and that I guess indirectly forced the hands of the record labels.
Sure,
you see, and they don't like that because they have an agenda to say, "Well, we only have $100,000, Exhibit," and then Exhibit blah, 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 we come up with the idea. It's gonna be great. He's invested. It's awesome. It's gonna cost $130,000. They don't like that. They want to go to the person who they know they can get it for 90, 10 less than the 100.
Sure.
You know, so that was always a struggle for me. My agent back then, Tommy Labuda, who is probably the biggest music video director's rep there is still, he started with me and I started with him. So that was really a unique bond for someone who's got the gift of gab, who can sell ice to an Eskimo, who was coming into the game fresh himself with young whippersnapper, young guy who was like, yeah, I'll do it, whatever, let's go. So our street game was insane. I'd be hanging out with Disturbed at a concert, boom, on our two-ways, flip your two-way, or your Nextel, boop, boop, you know, hey, yo, hit up Giant Records. Who's the commissioner? It's going great with them. I mean, I worked the streets. I definitely worked the streets.
Because you were young, which means just naturally you're going to be innovative because you know new technologies. And this has just been consistent through life, right? You're young, you're using it, therefore you know it. Did you feel like you could do it a bit cheaper, but just as good because you kind of had to and you knew the newest? Like you could do it with an iPhone. Like there's somebody awesome with an iPhone, they can be like, listen, I can shoot this thing for much cheaper because I can use 3 iPhones and it'll still look great.
Sure.
Were you able to do that instead of like going super old school with all the big cameras and be like, I'm 19, so I know how to do things these old guys don't know how to do?
Honestly, coming from the film era of big cameras, 1,000-foot mags, rolling film, planning out your shots because you have, before you even shoot, you're like, how many rolls of film
do you need?
Because
it's film, because you can't just go.
Absolutely.
Once you're on it, it's on it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I was one of those people who was like, digital is not going to take over film. Clearly did. And that was a massive, massive crux. Might have been the very moment that I started shooting photography again because I could not figure it out. It didn't make sense. These cameras are weird. The lighting is so sensitive to these things. Film, we're blasting light. It needs, the celluloid needs that. The look we would get would be pound light, crush the blacks, and all that stuff. That's that look that everybody loves about the 90s. That's not the look now. You can't get it from digital.
So it's a bit of the opposite then of what I'm saying. Since you had been so schooled and you knew how to do film so well.
I had to relearn.
And so
that's what I was getting at. I had to relearn everything. So now I really feel like I'm putting out the work I was meant to do. I honestly feel, and I would say this out loud, I know that a lot of the videos I did are iconic and special, and they are special to me. But I honestly feel like I was young, and it's like so many creatives do. You're looking at the peers above you going, oh, wow, they're getting those budgets and doing those artists. Okay, how can I produce? How can I make that happen for this? Okay, I do that. So all I was really doing was reverse engineering, learning how to produce what they're doing. Then, now, it's a massive amount of wisdom. You see, I can tone, visual tone, all those things that go into the emotive part of film. I've got. See, back then you're just shooting to shoot, and I said that to Eminem on the first job. I was just happy to have him in the lens. I was like, you know what I mean? And I even told Yellow Wolf when it was the second time directing him, I'll refrain from the language I use, but I was like, I'm going to direct this guy. Like, I'm going to really go into him. At that point, I was 41 or something, the second time I worked with him. And it was on. I was like, fun. I was, no, that's not it. That's not it. You know, really pushing him to it. And it was fun.
Because you had the confidence to do so.
I had the confidence. I had the experience, the know-how, the years, even in front of Marshall when he would be like, I would be like, he wanted to watch every take. A one-day shoot. It's very. I like to really take advantage of the full day. And he wants to watch every take. Make the take, go back and watch it because he wants to overlap his movements to where he's saying things in the song, which is crazy. And I was like, hey, so he's sitting down. There's a photo of it somewhere. I'm like, so how do you feel? How do you feel it's looking? He's like, I don't know. It's probably just me, but keep doing you, whatever. Yeah. I was like mortified in front of everybody, Paul, and everybody's quiet listening to Marshall go, but whatever, you know, we're here. So make the best of it. Super dry. I was like, okay, I got a solution. I know what it is. I know what you're feeling wrong. I start walking away. It's like, Spidey, yo, I'm just messing with you. You know, you know what I mean? So it's just, he's very witty and dry and, you know.
What was the video you did with him?
That was for Yellow Wolf, a song called Best Friend. And it's...
Didn't he? Because I remember Eminem and Yellow Wolf being together. Like, he like discovered him or was a big part of his entrance into hip hop.
Yes.
But I've seen Yellow Wolf a couple times in the past 6 months, mutual friends. They don't like work together anymore, huh?
No. Marshall definitely discovered and brought him to Shady and Interscope. And they did their stuff, their records and albums, and now Wolf has his own. He's on his own imprint, and he's like Pearl Jam.
He got a lot of tattoos.
He does it all. Yes, he does.
He got a lot of tattoos.
Yeah. What?
Hang tight. The Bobbycast will be right back. And we're back on the Bobbycast.
Which music video do you look back at and you're most proud of, and you could see really your maturation in directing?
From the old days?
Doesn't matter. You can give me one old, one new.
Yeah, I'll go one old. I love my Girls and Boys Good Charlotte. And the reason I love it is because I was going to meet Benji and Joel up at Mel's Diner on Sunset Boulevard. And I was I had heard that another director was already doing this video that I had already not written a treatment for, or written one and it wasn't liked. But I, back to my street game, was going to meet the guys. And I was at a light and not far from it. And I look over and I see this Ferrari with this old dude and these young girls getting out like that. It was just when I was playing the song like crazy. Girls don't like boys. Girls like cars and money.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I immediately got on the phone.
So that song was playing. You were playing that song.
I was
song.
Playing because I get the music right. from the artist
yes.
to think of the song.
Right.
And that's playing as I'm driving to them, trying to come up with an idea.
Mm-hmm.
I'm literally bluffing, trying to steal the video from another director. I'll say it's many, many years. But I called my partner and my directing partner. He wrote it while I was having dinner with them, came in with the treatment. And I was like, so guys, here it is. And then like a week later, we were in New Zealand shooting that video. And that was another reason why I love it. I discovered myself there on that new video.
But on that video, so you're watching old dude, young girl.
Yeah.
Is that what the video...
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't clarify that.
Is that what...
So the video concept... Yeah, I'm sorry. That was Good Charlotte hanging out, playing a song. Everybody in their world were 75 and 80 years old. Skating 80-year-olds, throwing milkshakes at a car and ditching 80 years old. Stage diving off of, 80 years old. Everybody's partying, 80, 70. Elderly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they're having the time of their life. And it was a well-received video, won some a VMA. And,
oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Anybody break a hip?
No. But if you watch it, there was a guy in the back who does a cannonball in the pool. I had to stop because I made him do like 7 of them and he was getting winded really bad.
All right, new.
Look, new
in,
video.
In let's say the more recent season that you look at and you're like, dang, I did that one to the best of my ability.
Yeah, I got it.
Go.
Jake Owen, Up There, Down Here.
Recent.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was Jake taking the chains off. He said, go make what you want to go make. And we talked about it. And the fact that it then got, he had a day off in Wyoming, and we got to shoot a performance there, which really allowed me and the team down in Florida to really hammer home narrative. It was fun. I think it all came together. And that is one of my more recent faves.
To do this, there's a couple ways to do it. You can actually go in class, just train. You can train, or you can just do it.
Yeah.
Right? Like my guy Reed just did it and figured it out and then took and just kept learning as he was doing it. In media or in music, that happens too a lot, right? You can just sit in your garage and play and then start, or you can go and, like, what was your style and who did you learn from? Or was it just doing it and screwing up?
No. I mean, filmmaking, I think there's a different era now coming up where I don't think young people are coming up learning the craft. They're learning DIY, cameras go, good. Back then, or not back then, but where I came from, it was more like learning a craft and honing that.
When you learned, did you learn mostly by doing it?
Oh, yes.
And doing it wrong, or learning by like a teacher going, this is the classic way to do it?
No, I went to college merely so I could slow down. And I did go to film school, but I raided the film. I literally took film cans from the classes and would go shoot music videos. So I got waived out of, I don't even know, 13 classes.
Is that like clept? That'd be the same thing?
Yeah.
Like you have enough experience where like you're good enough to pass this class anyway.
Yes. And I turned in Bone Thugs and Harmony my senior year. I turned in Exhibit my junior year projects. You know, and teachers would just excuse me because I got into USC. Will you let me make music videos? No. I got into UCLA. Will you let me make music videos? No. Loyola Marymount. Yes. That's what I did. I've spoken to colleges, film schools all around the country, Full Sail. The number one most asked question, how did you get to doing this so young? I knew what I wanted to do
and then,
young.
Yeah, and then you went and did it.
Did it.
Yeah.
There was no backup. There isn't. There can't be a backup. I can't have a fallback plan because you're going to fall back on it. You know, it's just that it was that way. So, yeah, I learned by doing. I put myself out there and developed the skills by doing.
Do you look back at any of your work? You don't have to answer this and go, oh, man, that kind of sucked. Because I do all the time on my stuff. Like, there's stuff I've written, there's stuff I'm just like, oh. And I feel like if you're not cringing a little bit by your old work, you haven't grown from.
Absolutely. I pooped the bed many of them. Not many. Probably three videos. Might not mention the names because they might get a little sore that I said it. But can I be honest with you?
I would prefer that, yeah.
They weren't film jobs.
What do you mean?
They were the new me coming into video. Me learning these cameras. They were heavy. They had air conditioners on them, like fans. My God, I didn't know how to move them, you know? And also, don't forget, they were coming on. There was Red, these big, bulky cameras. And then you had these 5Ds. Everybody's like, oh, they're the greatest thing. Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, and it's like, oh, God, they moved weird. They jittered. I'm like, that's not it. That's not it. So I had to, that was the big thing for me.
Did you ever consider doing films? Like, was that ever, because obviously there's a love for it.
Yes, I was attached to a movie. Maybe two of them, but definitely I was attached to one. I was with CAA, ICM agents and stuff like that. And the amount of effort and time it takes to get a film off the ground, I guess I was young and green. And I thought, wow, I'm attached to a movie. It's in Daily Variety. I'm gone. I'm to the moon, guys. Never got made. You sit in there in development. You're turning down jobs because you're too busy trying. This is going to be it. Let's storyboard this. It never gets made. So I guess I just followed what I was good at and what I knew. And I've always been a lover of music. I mean, it's crazy how much I love music. And I love the underdog. So, and to me, that's what music is. You know, I just, the fight. So, you know. I stayed in that part. And even recently, I had to come to that conclusion again with commercials. I'm like, you know, as a director, you want to be able to do short form commercials and such. And it's like, for some reason, it just doesn't seem to translate. I'm like, I'm not someone's cash cow. And I'm like, I'm out of hell with it. I'm tired of putting all this effort and all these things into it. And like, now I'm going to go where I'm needed. I'm wanted. You know, artists want to work with me. And I'm going to go there and I'm going to pursue. I'm just going to go head down on that. So,
do you think some of your pursuit and the way that you challenge yourself is because your dad and your dad was in special forces? And I'm sure you don't get to be special forces unless you are dedicated, yeah, disciplined, and trusting of the process.
Absolutely.
And how did that translate into you doing this?
Everything. Trust the process is something I've heard my whole life as a tennis player. That's trust the process. You can't enjoy tennis unless you're really good. Unless you're decent. You go play pickleball if you want to go play. My dad was intense. He raised me to be a bit of a perfectionist. When I said I wanted to be a Navy SEAL, I trained like hell. I was running O courses, obstacle courses. I was running 14 miles in combat boots with
the weights on.
Weights on. Yeah. I was in San Diego doing it. Then he would actually put me in the swimming pool before school, ankles in, and he's like, "How do you want to do? Is this still something you want to do when the music's not on?" you know, when you're in your room and you're listening to like Pantera or whatever, you're like, oh, I'm going to go do this. Mm. You know, and you're 18, 19, you know, whatever. He was integral to saying, okay, if you're going to go to the service, then go to college, get some credits so you can come in higher in the service. So I took the easiest classes I could, and they were film classes, moving classes. And within 2 days, I was done. I was hooked.
So you hooked. You went in, and you were like, I'll do film. It seems easy, so I get my credits and go be in the service. But then you fell in freaking love with doing film.
2 days in.
Did you go to your dad and say, you know what, I kind of like doing this now. I didn't really expect to, but I'm not going to do the service thing anymore. What did he say about that?
He loved it. Yeah, he was nervous for a while there until he got my tax returns on. He's like, how many days did you work this year? X. Mm-hmm. Keep doing it. Well, he's very proud of me. I mean, he is my biggest fan.
Do you think you could have been a SEAL?
Yes.
Like
no question. I will do what I put my mind to. And I was raised for that. And I have no doubt, even when I'm shooting car ads for a photo, oftentimes I'm left in the woods with a $150,000 prototype truck. But before I got there, yeah, I'm hiking in snow. No one's around. I don't bother it's a part of like a $5 million job, and photo goes off and does it, and that photo is just me. So it's definitely all that training and all that discipline is just never give up. You know, the only easy day was yesterday.
When you do photo, one of your first big jobs, maybe if not your first, was Bone Thugs?
For video.
For video it was. Mm-hmm. So whenever you're working with somebody that's famous, or you're working with somebody that you're kind of intimidated by and you're very young, like, what are the rules? I mean, can you just like go up to them with the camera? Are they stated beforehand? Or is it everybody has a different kind of personality, so you have to handle everybody differently?
Everyone's different. You have to be a chameleon, but what you said really triggered something, because you said when you were young. I remember, you know, back then, and maybe still now, but you would give rappers a 4 hour ahead call time, knowing that they would be late. They would dig into it. Well, Lazy Bone showed up early.
That doesn't make sense, because his name's Lazy Bone.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. He dropped the ball.
Yeah, he really did. He didn't live up to it.
But I was downstairs shooting Concept, and I came up out of this dark warehouse, and he was on top of a car just yelling and screaming or something like that. And he comes down, jumps off a car. He pulls out a pistol, a gun. He's like, what's up? What's up, man? What's going on? I hear you can scrap. I hear you scrap. I'm like, oh, shit. Let me see that. I grab the gun. I'm like, whoa. Hand it to my AD. And then I start talking to him, you know. We had to actually shoot another day. We had to shoot another day because there was just a lot of some of the takes weren't as they weren't as fresh as they could have been.
The guys,
yeah. So we had another full day of shooting for some of those.
Easier dynamic working with a rock band or a rap group?
That's so awesome of a question. 100% rock bands. The rap game comes with all the entourage. That's a big one. Rock is pretty easy, pretty fun.
The Bobbycast. We'll be right back.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah. That's what the whole store basically is. Fresh leather.
Yep.
Friendly staff. Or like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events. There is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. TECOVAS.com.
TECOVAS.
Yeah. Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk Wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How do the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as the Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts, that's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the Boar's Nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest. Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Listen now at audible.com/theboarsnest.
This is the Bobbycast.
You ever have somebody come in so messed up? Because I've had to do this before too, where you kind of have to cover for them and shoot differently because they're just either so high and you can tell or so drunk on the music video.
Not too often. It's more like shoot it out. Shoot. I might have to adjust an angle to cover something, but then you limit it in the edit.
Yeah.
Usually that. I've had scripts thrown in my face.
Because they didn't like it? They're upset with you? Just.
I have no clue why that one. It was a female artist. And it was a rapper. She was a queen pin, was her name. She just threw a.
But what was the words attached to the throw? Was she like, you're funny. Boom.
No, it was a bit on the white guy thing.
Oh, yeah.
One of those things, you know. But I mean, you know.
Were you always, and take this because I'm saying it from me to you, were you always, because I consider myself a pretty nerdy white dude.
Oh, I'm.
Were you always like, yeah?
I'm a nerd. I'm a film nerd. I mean, I collect sports cards still with my son, you know. It's like.
And you still looked like that regardless. Did you try to blend in with the rappers or the rock guys?
I tried to blend in. When I was doing, when we were doing all the Good Charlottes, yeah, I had the Dickies and the Converse and, oh yeah, I mean, it was, I was signing Louis Vuitton purses and stuff when you go to a Good Charlotte. It was an interesting time being young and being known as their director at their heyday.
Sure.
You know.
Album covers. Morgan Wallen.
Yeah.
How many of those have you done?
All.
Oh, three of them?
All three.
How did that, first of all, how'd you get to Nashville? Let me just back up from the Morgan stuff. How'd you get to Nashville?
I was fed up with LA. I watched the business, it was 2005-ish, Napster. I know it sounds weird to say Napster. Like, what? But Napster was really a thing, and internet, and budgets were being cut. And LA is, you know, being on top of the internet, the technology wave, whatever, it was dying. It was dying. MTV wasn't playing anything, but country music, CMT, GAC, people were still buying, in LA, they would go on the iPads, or iPods.
Mm-hmm.
Here, they were still buying the CDs at Walmart and jamming out at their lake. You know, so I believe I was fortunate enough to see that and to get in when the window shut. And it clipped my ankles as I jumped through that one. I feel like I barely made it through.
Did you know anybody here to make those connect, or at least your first couple connections?
Yes. Yes, Sean Silva, who is the owner of Tackle Box Films, a great director. He was at the company I was at in LA, but he was at that time. He was saying he was challenged because the being a country director and doing rock videos wasn't translating, but being a rock director doing country videos, he was like, "Dude, you'll do great." So I met my wife in LA. She's from here. So it was all the reason to move here. And I started doing very well. Jason Aldean was one of the first people I started working with immediately. I saw him at on a TV and on a Texas Roadhouse driving here from Oklahoma. I was like, called my agent. I want to meet with Jason Alden.
Alden.
Yeah. Alden. She's like, okay. But then like a couple weeks later, I'm at his house doing it. So it's, yeah.
I used to collect Garbage Pail Kids.
Oh, yeah.
When I was a kid. Uh-huh. And, you know, them. Yeah. All of them. And I collected baseball cards too. Your son still likes to collect cards. I'm assuming it's because of your passion for it that you've had it. What do you guys like? What's fun for you guys to find? And how do you buy them? Do you do breaks? Like what? How do you do
sure.
that?
We're not into that yet, but I wanted to teach him. He's a lot like me, and he's spazzy, and he's just all over the place. And so I wanted to slow him down a little bit, teach him a little business stuff. He loves Ja Morant, so. We nerd out on the Grizzlies, and he collects, actually. He doesn't like collecting sports because he's like, they get injured. They get suspended. I don't like it. So he collects garbage buckets.
Oh, really?
That's his jam.
They still make those?
Huh?
Do they still make them, though?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they do?
Numbered, graded, all that stuff. I mean, like, yeah, $1,500 cards.
You mentioned a minute ago you mentioned tennis. I assume you played tennis then at some level because that usually doesn't come up.
Yeah.
Do you play tennis still?
I haven't played in the latter part of a year, but I'll tell you why. I started playing tennis at 5. I was 140 something in the nation as a junior tennis player in California. And California is arguably probably the best state for tennis. Florida's good too. Quit when my best friend cheated on me in a big tournament. Broke like 10 tennis rackets over a trash can and then never played until my wife, about a couple of years back, said, you're a workaholic. You need to go play tennis. I didn't have glasses. I didn't have anything. I got back into it so diligently that it was distracting my work. It brought back that thing that I...
Are you obsessive? Do you get obsessed and then it's hard to not?
Yes. I'm a go-getter. You know, if I put my mind to it, if it's something that I've locked into my brain, I got to do it.
To an unhealthy state?
Yep.
I'm on OCD medication. And for a long time, I was just like, I really like stuff. But then I started to realize it wasn't natural how much, and I could not focus on anything else. Mm. And I come from a family of addicts, but I didn't always put the two together. But I'm on an OCD medication.
Sure.
So I asked that from somebody who also deals with that. And it would be a bit unhealthy for me because I would have blinders on whatever I was doing.
Mm.
And it would kill other relationships, not even romantic, but I would just be me and that. And that's it until I either conquer it or am bored with
that's
it.
Me.
Still,
I would be on an anniversary, not with my wife, but I remember back in the day, I would be driving to a dinner and I would get a phone call from the post facility saying, hey, someone just canceled. We can bump you in. Like, turn over, go in and work. Hey, we'll get dinner there. It's the way I am. It must come with some drawbacks, but I also think it's a superpower. I honestly believe that. I mean, I've met my family. I'm not like organizing my shoes too crazy, but my office is absolutely OCD organized. I mean, even before our podcast, I'm looking at we have a collage of all my plaques and I'm like, you know, when you get a collage, everything has to be.
All the squares, eight corners.
You're like, you're adjusting 7 pictures when it's just a little off. But yeah, I mean.
The Morgan album covers.
Yeah.
Let's get back to that. How did those come about? And I'm assuming the first one, that's cool, but he wasn't what he is now.
No, the first one I think was kind of probably something from the record label.
But the first one you did.
I did. And they were like, they brought me in.
Got it.
And we hit it off great. I think all of our shoots, all albums, If I Know Me, Dangerous, and One Thing at a Time have all been 2 hours or less. Quick. The first one was definitely motivated by the label. We hit it off great. The second, can I go into a quick story?
You can go into a long story.
COVID happened. And probably the second rock bottom that I've gone through, maybe third. But this rock bottom was worse than anything I've ever felt because I was married with kids. And I hadn't worked in 8 months. didn't make a penny, living this down the street and driving a Tesla. And I had to change things up. It was a real tough time. Anyway, I got a phone call in the new house and I was off doing checklists while the kids are off of school. Wife is trying to make some money. I'm home alone doing checklists. You know, like, this is not what I'm meant to be doing. And this is on the, what, month 9? And I get a phone call from Morgan's manager, Tracker. He's like, hey, and I see it. I'm like, whoa, what's this? He's like, are you, what you doing? I'm like, nothing. He's like, hey, how would you, what are you doing Saturday? And this was like Thursday. Would you like to photograph arguably going to be the one of the biggest albums covers of in country music for Morgan? I was like, yes. Because he told me a little bit about it. You know, it's going to be a double thing. We've already done some photos, but Morgan didn't think they were fitting. He requested you. And that meant everything to me at that time. It brought me out of it. It brought me out. It brought me out of the dark to know that someone really, at that time, there was a first phone call. The first phone call for work was Morgan wanting to work with me because he wasn't happy with what he got. He really wanted something unique. It's because of that he called me. That was big.
Was there a pressure then for you to go, okay, you want something unique?
Yeah.
I got to figure something out that isn't traditional, but not too wacky or
no.
It's going to be overboard.
My style is to unarm the artist, to just shoot a bit of the candidness, but make it feel like lightning just struck in a perfect location. You know, so like, you know, I'm obsessed with the four corners of the frame. If I got a great photo, but the background is not great or it's off or this or something's coming, I won't use it. I don't care if it's Eminem or Madonna. I don't care. It's got to go through my criteria process. And so I guess the only pressure I have is me. Because Morgan's just, he's extreme gentleman to me. I mean, he's just like, he really does kind of, yes, sir, yes, sir, whatever you want. I mean, it's awesome. So I think the pressure is me. And I put a lot of it. A lot.
Let's take a quick pause for a message from our sponsor.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your next stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring. You're talking about men's boots, women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition, timeless style, always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort, little to no break-in period. Like, it's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, direct consumer pricing keeps the value on your feet, the money in your pocket. So stop by your local Tecovas store. Have a complimentary drink. Shop the new styles. You like the smell of leather or no?
I love it.
Yeah. That's what the whole store basically is. Fresh leather.
Yep.
Friendly staff. Or like the smell of staff?
I don't know. I guess I'm sure they smell good there.
Many stores have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. What a gift, too. Regular live music and events, there is no in-store experience like this. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com.
Tecovas.com. Tecovas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tecovas.com. Find your new favorite pair of boots today. This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p. Willie Nelson, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson. How do the biggest names in outlaw country start a musical revolution? Through one woman's vision from one tiny living room. Don't miss Mandy Moore as Sue Brewer in the new scripted Audible original, The Boar's Nest, Sue Brewer and the Birth of Outlaw Country Music. Discover the true untold story of the extraordinary woman behind the outlaw country music movement and its biggest stars. Brewer shaped the sound and soul of country music as we know it today, despite never picking up an instrument herself. Lovingly dubbed as the Boar's Nest, Sue's place was an intimate staging ground where a new breed of singer-songwriters, wounded souls, wayward upstarts, That's where they would spur each other and tap into something bigger and something realer. Starring Mandy Moore and featuring Eben Moss Backrack as Shel Silverstein and TJ Osborne as Johnny Cash, alongside a full ensemble cast. Audible invites you to enter the boar's nest and experience the rise of a musical revolution. One woman, one time, one place. The Boar's Nest. Sue Brewer and the birth of outlaw country music. Listen now at audible.com/theboar's nest.
Welcome back to the Bobbycast.
When you get one of those calls, like, hey, we want you to come either make the video or just shoot, you know, for whatever it is. It could be commercial. It could be music, concert. Who's the call you got that were like, holy crap, like, personally, you were a fan. So it was really cool.
I got a phone call from an artist.
Just saying, I want to hire you. Or their manager was like, he wants to hire you. She wants to hire you. And you're like, that's super cool because I'm a massive fan of that person. He maybe didn't say that. But to you, you were like, wow, this one feels kind of cool in a personal way because I love their art.
Honestly, I would say Yellow Wolf. I put him high on that list of artistry. He is such a scrutiny of art and style and what he wants. For him to work with me on 14 music videos and 4 albums, that's an honor. And honestly, I take a lot of pride in my repeat business. 3 albums for Morgan. You know, a lot of my work is multiple stuff. That means they're coming back for a reason. And that's what I kind of hold that as a badge of honor, really.
Do you have any moments where it's like, they're like, tell me you got that because something happened. And you're like, yeah, I got that. Or I missed that.
Always.
Really?
Always.
Give me a good tell me you got that moment.
They're all the time, but you're hoping that you didn't get that. Are you saying that I didn't get it?
It could be either one, right?
I've missed moments before and you say you got it and you just, yeah, it's great. It's great. And you honestly are just hoping that they forget and they do. You just service, you service another photo and you're like, cool. But yeah, I've run into that before for sure. And not really on client. Yeah.
Ever had like you shot a picture and you didn't even know until you looked at it, and there's like Haley's comment in the background or something cool that you didn't know was in the picture? Because that would be pretty cool.
I did shoot photos. I was doing Breaking Benjamin. You know who they are?
Yeah.
A rock band.
Yeah.
And I did So Cold and Diary of Jane for them. And I did So Cold. Diary of Jane was in Yonkers, New York, in a haunted mansion, a manor of some sort. And I was also shooting photo for them as well, like album. And we went to this pool and shot the photo and pool that was abandoned and just cool tile and just very ornate and beautiful and abandoned. And we took a picture and there were orbs everywhere. We didn't see that until we got back to the hotel.
That's what I was going
to
see. Could you see anything
everywhere
while you were shooting?
No. When I shot the picture, because we were shooting film on the video. But when I shot photo, it was digital. And I'm shooting click. Okay, back to this. Click, you know, so I didn't get to see the photo until we went back to the hotel. And
then you saw them.
It was everywhere.
So what do you think that was?
I do believe it's spirits or something going on there. It couldn't have been anything else. I know light. I try to defunk all that all the time. I had a really messed up situation like that in the Dreskel in Austin.
Yeah, stay there a bunch. What happened?
I was there with my wife. She was doing a modeling job. And we were in the hotel sleeping. She had to be up at like 4 in the morning. So she's not trying to cause any drama or, you know, like we were sleeping in separate beds because we had singles because I came unannounced. And we had gone to the mezzanine area and taken photos and we're really acting obnoxious with a group of us and just kind of like, oh, you know, this and that. And we went back to the hotel, the room, and slept. And you wake up and you're kind of like, I couldn't breathe, but you're kind of like, whatever. And I hear my wife on the other bed go, Ryan. I'm like, she didn't know I was awake. I go, what? I can't breathe. Something's on me. She couldn't breathe. I didn't tell her what I was going through. I was sleeping sideways going, right? And she goes, I feel like something's on my chest pushing this and that. And it was just a real creepy thing. But we got back again. One of the photos we saw after the fact was like, in the mezzanine where you can shoot, you know, the mirrors, mm-hmm. You shoot into a mirror, but behind these mirrors, it just goes back into infinity of mirrors. there is a literal woman in a cloak screaming.
No way.
I will try to find it to you and stare. She's like this. And she's got a cloak and it's like, okay. And the guy who took the picture was a UFC fighter and was ghost. He was white as a ghost when he saw it.
And you don't think that that was.
How?
I don't know the science of it, but I'm just saying a woman in a, an orb I can understand because you can define it.
I'm going to find this. This is going to be on an old cell phone. Yeah. But when you stayed there at the dress school, what was that like? Did you feel anything?
No.
Annie Lennox said that.
I stayed in the dress school 50 times.
Nothing?
Nothing.
They like me.
I hooked up. I hooked up. I hooked up with the ghost once, but I knew it wasn't. It didn't scare me because I picked her up in the bar as a ghost.
It's familiar.
Yeah. So okay. We'd known each other. So that wasn't weird.
No. Well, shouldn't be.
Yeah. We did it a few times.
Mine was a little weird because I was messing with them.
Yeah. Would you have your son do the same thing you do? That's awesome. If he wanted to, or if he said 50-50, Dad, should I do what you do?
Yeah. Yes. I really do. Don't think I work a day. I don't work. I love what I do. It's a challenge, and it was hard, and it was a lot of sacrifice to get to that point of love. And I don't know if I would want that for him, or do I want that for me? I mean, it was, you know, it's like you're coming up. It wasn't just, you know, it's character building. They're very creative people. We have a very untraditional house in the sense of, you know, I've got E.M. Tongi coming in for a podcast and Yellow Wolf and people coming into the house and they hang out with them and it's different. So they see that. And of course, now with the YouTube thing and my son's like, Dad, can I make a YouTube channel? You got one. I'm like, okay. You know, so I they're interested in it. And I think I know a lot of people and can coach them.
The last few episodes of your podcast, like who's been on? What do you talk about?
Ooh. Well, E.M. Tongi and I, he's the American Idol winner. We talked about our trip in South Pacific and just his music. I love hearing how artists come up and hearing their stories. So I get that perspective from different positions, you know, directors and things like that. But I think my favorite thing is learning the artist process. We all have different processes and whatever, you know what I mean? And it's, even as an artist, do you know of your process? Have you stopped to think about what your process is? You're just going mad through it. Blah, you know what I mean? I used to do that until I heard someone say about the artist process or trust the process or whatever, you know, and you're like, what is my process? And I actually was working with Yellow Wolf in the studio when he was making the Love Story record. I realized my process more honed because his and mine are very similar.
See, you're cool with your kid doing something creative.
Mm-hmm.
There's no stability, as you know.
Yeah.
You have to create your own stability.
Yeah.
And even that can be wiped out. Do you see a lot of you and him?
Yeah. My oldest son is a spitting image of me. Clumsy, looks like me, probably a little ADD.
How'd you do in school?
Three point two-ish, you know.
So good, but you probably could have
been better. I wasn't focused. Yeah. You know, I wanted to be doing the other things, but when I was at LMU college, it was like a 3.98. And that was, you got docked for A minuses.
Because you were focused.
I was focused. I knew what I wanted.
You found what you wanted to do.
It was my money. Yeah. You know what I mean? I was like, so I understand that. And I'm parenting him a lot differently than I was parented. I understand what he's going through or what he's thinking, and I'll explain it to him in the way that I know that I would have wanted it. And it's helping. He's like, thanks, Dad. It helps.
In the Trenches with Spidey, you guys check out his podcast. He's a director. He's a photographer. He's a podcaster. And at Spidey Smith, S-P-I-D-E-Y Smith on Instagram. Really enjoyed the hour we did here, man.
Thank you.
That was super cool. We had talked about this. We were in Florida together, and I was like, you should come do the podcast. Yeah. And enjoyed you then, but like this has been super cool.
I appreciate it. I was tickled to do this. Yeah. Thank you.
I'm tickled right now. All right, at Spidey Smith, you guys follow. We'll put it in the notes here as well. Spidey, thanks, man.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to a Bobbycast production.
This is the year to stop overpaying for your family plan. So choose a Straight Talk Wireless family plan. Unlimited data, talk, and text on a reliable 5G network. And you can get a new line starting at $25 per line per month for 4 lines, plus taxes and fees and no contracts. That's good decision making. Available at Walmart and on straighttalk.com. Family plan discount with 4 lines, all on the Silver Unlimited plan. Not combinable with auto pay discount. In times of traffic, your data may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Video streams at up to 480p.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you, from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.